Today on Return of the Disc, we're going to talk about the complete Lady Snowblood from Criterion. A young woman trained from childhood as an assassin and hell-bent on revenge for heinous crimes committed against her family, hacks and slashes her way to gory satisfaction in turn of the 20th century Japan, rampant with inventive violence and spectacularly choreographed swordplay. Toshiya Fujita's pair of influential cult classics, Lady Snowblood and Lady Snowblood Love Song of Vengeance, are bloody, beautiful extravaganzas composed of one elegant widescreen composition after another. The first Lady Snowblood was a major inspiration for Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill saga, and both of Fujita's films remain cornerstones of Asian action cinema. What we got here, Criterion always does some like awesome packaging. I haven't opened this up yet. Looks like there's a poster though, which is really cool. Really cool. Yeah, there she is, Lady Snowblood. This was my first watch of the complete Lady Snowblood, and right away, I was thinking to myself, okay, I saw that in Kill Bill. I saw that in Tarantino movie. This movie is like totally influential to Quentin Tarantino's filmography. The epic Panavision widescreen aspect ratio, over-the-top gore, over-the-top swordplay, and most of all, one of Quentin Tarantino's favorite tropes, revenge. We start out with Yuki, who becomes Lady Snowblood. She's born in jail. Her mother gives birth in jail, and as her mother is dying, she's like, you have to take over. I give you this vendetta. Seek revenge for your family. Then we cut to Lady Snowblood, slashing, cutting limbs off, all kinds of revenge. Like, if you're in the samurai movies, this is one that you have to see. And we get the origins of Yuki and the training that she had outside of prison through her mother's friend. And we get all the cool montages. There's a lot of brilliant set pieces in this. As Yuki goes on through seeking revenge, she has like her four assassins that she's after, her list. Again, Kill Bill. So she goes through it. There's twists and turns. I don't want to spoil too much for you guys, because if you haven't seen it, it's definitely satisfying to watch. So well done, so well choreographed. It actually blew me away that there was so much violence. The acting is great. There's some fantastic shots in this, especially on like the beach. The colors really pop. And the Criterion Collection has really restored this. It's a 2K digital restoration, which is not even a 4K, and it still looks amazing. Lady Snowblood is based off of a manga titled Lady Snowblood, so both parts were adapted from the manga. Lady Snowblood, Love Song of Vengeance. So Lady Snowblood does what she does in the first movie, I won't spoil, but she's a wanted woman. Tables have turned. Everybody's after her. Very much like a John Wick 2 type thing, where everybody's after John Wick by the end of the second movie. And I thought the beginning of Love Song of Vengeance was fantastic. Then it started getting slower for me. The ending is satisfying, but I just didn't feel the connection as I did with the first movie. Lady Snowblood is far superior to the sequel, but I'd recommend this collection as a whole. There's some great behind-the-scenes interviews with the writer of the manga that inspired the films and the screenwriter. There's trailers. So if you guys are picking this up sometime on a sale, or if you already have it, let me know your thoughts on Lady Snowblood. Look, I've seen it all. I have it all. I know. There is one place I can go. Just sit tight. Olivia Wilde gives the best performance of her career in A Vigilante. Give her a call, and she'll give you justice. After escaping her violent husband, Sadie makes it her life's mission to help free others in danger. Now, after months of rigorous training in survival skills, boxing, and lethal martial arts, Sadie is back with a vengeance in this fight-packed action thriller. So, A Vigilante stars Olivia Wilde and is the feature film debut of Sarah Dagger Nixon. This movie is so well done, and it's so low budget. The shots of the snow falling, you have the shots of the northern region. It's winter, it's very dark and desolate, very cold looking. The emptiness of the frame in this movie, and every frame is composed so well that it adds to Olivia Wilde's performance as Sadie, who is recovering from domestic violence. Basically, we start out, though, with her as the vigilante, where she actually gets another woman out of a toxic marriage, and it's brutal. She meets with the husband that's abusing this woman, and she takes him down, like Charles Bronson style. This is my first time watching it, and I picked this up at a Family Video when they were closing for like a dollar, and I was really surprised by everyone involved. The stunts are pretty much all Olivia Wilde. You can tell she really put some work into this. There's not a lot of dialogue from her, but you can tell her performance is very physical performance, where she's crying, she's showing emotion. You know, we learn more about her character as we go on, learn more about Sadie and her upbringing and why she became a vigilante. And then there's also some really nice scenes with the domestic violence group that meets like weekly. There's only one special feature. It's a making of documentary, about 20 minutes. And they cover some of the stories that they use for the domestic violence are actually true. These women actually went through this stuff. And it just goes to show you how grounded this film is. But the Blu-ray looks great. Video quality is amazing. Highly recommend this from 2018. If you guys are a fan of Olivia Wilde or any kind of revenge film, this is a very satisfying revenge film. Go check out A Vigilante. Let me know if you guys have seen A Vigilante.
Streaming? Give me that!
2007's 310 to Yuma. This is the Best Buy Steelbook. Infamous outlaw Ben Wade and his vicious gang of thieves and murderers have plagued the Southern Railroad. When Wade is captured, Civil War veteran Dan Evans volunteers to deliver him alive to the 310 to Yuma, a train that will take the killer to trial. But with Wade's outfit on their trail, and dangers at every turn, the mission soon becomes a violent, impossible journey toward each man's destiny. Alright, 310 to Yuma, this is the Best Buy Steelbook. Very nice steelbook, I must say. This looks like a painting. It's absolutely well worth the upgrade, guys. This is actually the same 4K that came out a couple years ago, but this steelbook, I had to get it. 310 to Yuma is a remake of a Glenn Ford film, and it's adapted from, both films are adapted from the Elmore Leonard short story. This one stars Russell Crowe and Christian Bale, Logan Lerman, Ben Foster, Peter Fonda, Gretchen Mol as well. All-star cast, James Mangold, you guys know from Copland, Logan, Ford v. Ferrari. He handles the reins here. This movie's great. It's one of my favorite westerns, my favorite remakes. Christian Bale and Russell Crowe, their chemistry as the film goes on, they don't agree, but they have sort of this understanding, which leads to this crazy shootout at the end as they're trying to get to the 310 to Yuma. Ben Foster is part of Russell Crowe's gang, and he has some great scenes. You see the power of Ben Foster in this film as an up-and-coming actor. This is one of Peter Fonda's best performances, but he's, you know, it's a supporting role and one of his last probably well-known roles, I would say. He plays against Ben Foster in this. There's a couple scenes that I really enjoyed. And Logan Lerman plays Christian Bale's son in this, and he has some really amazing moments too. The score is amazing. So well composed, the shots. James Mangold, we should have no worries that he's doing Indiana Jones 5. This disc is, like I said, it's also it's a 4K, so it I think it's a very... This is probably the best version we're going to get. There's a commentary by James Mangold, which is fantastic. There's a 310 to Yuma score featurette, Sea to Shining Sea documentary, conversation with Elmore Leonard even, the guns of Yuma, historical timeline of the West. This set is loaded with special features, guys. Highly recommend it. Hit up Best Buy, see if they still have it. Let me know below if you guys picked it up. We'll be right back. How far would you go to save the one you love? In Return of the Living Dead Part 2, the chemical trioxin turned people into flesh-eating zombies. Now, the government is trying to control these unstoppable cannibalistic killers in Return of the Living Dead 3. When a young man uses the chemical to bring his girlfriend back to life after a motorcycle accident, she is driven to eat the only thing that will nourish her, human brains. She tries to stop her own feeding frenzy, but a chain reaction has already begun, as hordes of undead are unleashed from their graves. Return of the Living Dead 3 is different than the first two Return of the Living Deads. As far as tone, they try to take this more serious approach, and I think some of it works. So in the beginning, we're set up with the government has this little workstation type thing, bunker type thing, science lab going on, and one of the guy's sons goes and visits with his girlfriend, and then they witness like this zombie being born again, you know, rising from the dead, and this crazy action sequence to open the film. So then they go home, and the dad's like, "Hey, I got a promotion. We're leaving, son. We're leaving town." And the girlfriend and him are like, "No, we're not gonna stand for this. I'm not going, Dad." And then him and the girlfriend take off. They get into a motorcycle accident. He decides, "Hey, I'll bring her back to life. I'll take her to the bunker. I'll inject her with this crap, and she will rise from the dead." And that's exactly what happens. She becomes a zombie. She keeps transforming, and she's also increasingly hungry. So she has to find brains to eat, but they have this sort of connection, so she won't eat him. She figures out that pain actually helps keep the starvation away, so she keeps like piercing herself, and she becomes like this crazy torn up zombie type thing, and it started out really cool. I really was impressed that this is the third film and this is the direction they went, more serious. Effects are great as the first two, the practical effects were top notch. And there's a part here where they head down to a sewer and they meet this Rain Man type person down in the sewer, and I just felt the movie was kind of constrained to two locations, the sewer and then the military bunker. We're kind of restrained here, and it kind of just bogs down the plot. I didn't think that the sewer people were really necessary, other than for the woman to eat their brains. I'm still recommending this because it has a cool finale, and the effects, she's pretty cool looking. So I do recommend this, and their special features are great. This is loaded. This is part of the Vestron collection. Audio commentary with director Brian Yuzna, actress Melinda Clark, who plays the lead, special face makeup artist Tom Ronan, special effect makeup artist commentary, a conversation with director Brian Yuzna and screenwriter John Penny, interviews with special effects artist, interviews with production executives, theatrical trailers, and this is loaded. As far as the picture quality, started out kind of shaky. It was kind of like the shutter was kind of shaking the frame, so I felt like it was a DVD port, but then the quality got better. So, it's turned into a solid transfer. So, yeah. Let me know what you guys think. If you guys seen Return of the Living Dead 3, let me know below. This has been Return of the Disc. I'm Dan. For more Return of the Disc, visit returnofthedisc.com. Check out the audio version of today's show, available on all major podcast platforms. And be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel.